Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Tutcher and Rich.
Good morning, guys. How's everyone today?
Oh, it's just a day after day of delight.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Nobody knows. I mean, I talked to several of my buddies who work for teams today, and they're all just kind of in limbo. Like, how are we going to figure this out? And John Harbaugh says it's humanly impossible. And with these numbers, maybe it is. And Sean McVay says, how are we going to socially distance on the off the field, but not on the field? And everybody gets it, but there has to be a give and take, you know? Are there going to be any preseason games? I don't think so. Is there going to be a normal training camp? I don't think so. Are they going to bring 90 guys in? I don't think so.
Danny at 5, the Sports Hub, where Tutcher and Rich. Will Brinson, senior writer for CBSSports.com. He hosts the Daily Pick 6 podcast. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Mr. Brinson, hello.
Guys, man, talk about a... what's going on, guys? Talk about a killer intro there. A little lock and four straight into something that sounds like Led Zeppelin, but isn't.
Yeah, listen, that's what we do here is we have people make music as close as possible to the actual music so we don't have to pay. That's exactly what we do.
I was like, oh, is that cashmere? No, but it sounds a lot like it.
That's right. And that's what they say about my sweater. And I say, oh, he's cashmere. All right. Will Brinson, people are raising concerns about the ability to play football this season in the NFL. Obviously, someone's going to get the coronavirus. People are going to get the coronavirus. How do you feel about the league starting on time and the way that they can handle this? Can they? Well, it seems like I've challenged him.
Hello?
Well,
it seems like I've challenged him too much.
Yeah.
That was
a tough question.
What did that... He just said, I can't... Listen, a question that genius, there's no way
he knew he could
answer back and it'd be worthy of the setup itself.
It's like he knew he was outmatched, so he just decided to ditch.
It was
like
he was on the Kelly Clarkson show. He knew that this was not... Right. He's not going to come out of here light.
Right.
He knew that. Yeah. He said, this is... what is this, the Kelly Clarkson show?
By the way, real quick, total sidetrack, but have you seen the video of Novak Djokovic from this past week?
No.
Oh, I mean, it's him shirtless in a nightclub with a bunch of his buddies, dancing around, like rubbing on people.
Oh, there you go. Well, okay. It's a miracle. It's a miracle he got it.
So you talk about, you know, people acting somewhat recklessly in the era of coronavirus. That might be one of the dumbest of all of them.
Yes, I would say that is, by the way, that's dumb in any situation. Put your shirt back on. What the hell's wrong with you? Take it
what
off
What are you
your
doing,
shirt.
Gronkowski?
Yeah, put your shirt on, stupid.
I mean, just tasting colors.
Yeah. That's, you know, you take enough MDMA and then you just want people to touch you. Will Brinson, thank you for hanging up. We do appreciate that. But it was a tough question. It was a tough question.
I set down my phone to tweet that I was joining you guys on the radio. It just hung up on you. I don't know what happened. Yeah, I guess my phone doesn't appreciate cashmere knockoffs.
Yeah.
I don't know if I heard the whole question. But
it's like basically, can they pull it off? I mean, people are going to get the coronavirus. You know, it's unreasonable to, I mean, none of this stuff is going to be able to happen. They're not going to be able to socially distance properly. I mean, they're going to, you know, these rules about walking down the hall are crap. You know, if they're going to be around the facility, they're going to be around the facility. How do you think they can handle it? Meaning, let's start with this. How can teams afford to lose? Say they lost 8 players. Like, is this a catastrophe? How do they deal with this?
Well, I mean, see, my thing is that I think if these teams get back to training camp and one guy has it, then everybody has it. Like, if there's somebody who doesn't have it, they already had it. You know, I don't see a way in which somebody's going to test positive for coronavirus and then they're going to stop the rest of the team from getting it. Like, how are they going to find that out? It seems to me like they're just going to say, look, you guys are all getting it. Like, I mean, that's just kind of how I feel about it. I don't think you can go into this and say, all right, you know, these guys are going to, you know, we're going to test 3 times a week. And if somebody has, I mean, you know, this thing isn't like a, you know, it's not like a green T-shirt where you can point at somebody like, oh, that guy's got a green T-shirt on. Stop him from putting green T-shirts on everybody else.
So are you saying
that's the worst analogy I've ever heard?
Yeah, I was trying to save you from it there, Will.
That was a terrible analogy.
It was a safe analogy. It wasn't going to get me in trouble, right?
Mr. Green Jeans had something to say about that.
But at the beginning of the season, yeah, you're saying everyone at the beginning of the season is going to get sick, and maybe those first 6 weeks of games are going to be a nightmare for a lot of these teams, understaffed.
I think training camp. So like if you do training camp starting in like the middle to late July, I think everybody's going to have corona and be done with corona by September 1st. And so you just, I don't know what you're going to do about practice and like when you have to shut down for 2 or 3 weeks because your team has it. But like if the Ravens decide to shut down for 2 weeks because one guy gets it, and then they have to shut down another 2 weeks because another guy gets it, how are they going to even get any practice in? I mean, there's a ton of complications with it. I guess that sort of goes back to what Locke and Ford were saying in that opener. I mean, everybody's going to get it. It's just a matter of, are you going to get it in training camp or are you going to get it in September when the season starts?
You know, one weird angle of this that I was just, we were talking to, I think it was Jeff Howe yesterday about was, you know, there are some players who, you know, who have had, you know, there's some guys like on Marcus Cannon and who else on the Patriots were you talking with?
Andrews.
Yeah, David Andrews, who might have compromised immune systems. And then there's also players who have family members who have compromised immune systems. And I'm wondering, like, who these people might be and whether that's going to cause several players, like major star players, to sit out and how that would affect the rosters of teams as well.
Yeah, and or like, you know, maybe somebody spends a large amount of time with their parents, you know, and or somebody's caring for an elderly parent in their household. I mean, you never know what their situation is. I know if I were a professional football player and my parents who are about 70 years old or thereabouts, 69, nice. If they were, you know, living in my house, it's a rough morning for me, leave me alone. I would be like, look, I don't know if I feel comfortable, you know, going to work every day with, you know, 80 dudes who may or may not have coronavirus and then coming home. I mean, I know my parents wouldn't be comfortable with it. And I think the same thing applies to the immune system stuff. I you know, it's weird. I understand that we're sort of, and when I say we, I mean society at large, not necessarily me personally, but we are sort of treating this virus like, look, you know, if you're young, you'll be fine. Well, I mean, how do we know that? Like, we know that you'll probably recover from whatever you got within a couple of weeks, but we don't know whether there's longer-term effects and whether or not you can get it a second time and all. There's so much stuff we don't know, and that's what makes it more dangerous to me. I mean, so I think it's very – I mean, like when they say they've got this plan going forward, the NFL is very lucky in the sense that it got its entire offseason at a time when the NFL, I mean, when the NBA and baseball and hockey had to cancel actual games. And additionally, the NFL is lucky because the baseball and basketball are going to try and roll back and start up again with actual games. And they're basically going to be the guinea pigs for the NFL. And so the NFL will have these training camps going on probably about the same time as baseball, it sounds like now. But, I mean, you know, baseball will be playing games, and if they have to shut down within 2 weeks, the NFL will find out pretty quickly what sort of task it's up against.
All right, I'm coronavirused out. I want to talk about Jamal Adams. I want to talk about how there's the video of him, someone asking, hey, you going to go to the Cowboys? And he says, I'm trying. He's gonna continue being a Jet, right? I know, like, in the end, he's going to end up being a Jet, right?
He has zero, zero bargaining power. Less than zero.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. And there was an example I read about Earl Thomas. And Earl Thomas wanted to go to the Cowboys. And Seattle was offered a first-round pick from the Cowboys, but then decided to trade him, I can't remember where, for two second-round picks because they so badly didn't want to send him to Dallas, and he broke his leg, and that was moot.
So Jamal Adams has 2 years left in his contract,
the fourth year and the franchise.
So yes. They have control over Adams for 3 years, including this one.
And by the way, if he sits out, then he doesn't get that year. So
yes.
It starts all over.
Correct. Again. Unless he plays six games, right? Will, it's six games?
If he doesn't show up for training camp, the new CBA says if you don't show up for training camp,
okay.
If you don't report for your first day of training camp, it's pretty crazy. And in fact, there's actually, so inside that rule, I was researching this last week while I was on vacation, because, you know, work never stops. The new CBA says if you don't report for your team's first day of training camp, then you do not accrue that season. So I guess you can show up for a day and then bounce. But the extra clause in there is super vague. It's like if a player doesn't report for like an inappropriate amount of time or something like that, or like it's just very, very vague. And you can read it in a way that, like, if he doesn't show up for 10 days, if he shows up for the first day of training camp and there's like F you Jets and leaves for 10 days, they can still basically try to take away a year of service time. It is super vague and designed to let these teams keep these players from holding out, which, you know, I guess is good job by the union again.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Like, how do you let that training camp? How do you let that training camp calls get in there?
Because you get extra money. That for all the bitching and moaning the players did about the power of the commissioner and all this stuff we're talking about, you know, the NFL floated them a little extra cash, and voila, you have a new CBA. It's amazing that way.
Yeah, it's crazy how that works. But yeah, I mean, I think that he doesn't have any leverage. I mean, he's probably going to play for the Jets, barring, you know, one of these teams ponying up a pretty nice pick. And I don't know. I mean, I think I'm not to bring Corona back into it, but I think there's some unknown about trading a future pick right now too. Like, if you're the Bengals, would you want to trade your future first round pick when, what if there's no season and you end up having the first overall pick next year when you thought your team, you know, something like that. I know that's a worse than the green t-shirt example.
Hang on. Would that really happen? If there was no season, it would just be the same draft order?
I don't know. What else would you do randomly?
But that just seems unfair. Like, 2 years in a row of the Bengals getting the number one pick.
I'd be all for that. You just draft it out and pick them out of a hat. That'd be great.
They'd probably do a lottery for
I'd be all
they'd
in.
Have yeah. to. You'd have to do a lottery.
You do a lottery and then the Patriots get Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
They are not allowed in. It's a lottery of the 16
Patriots,
worst teams.
The Patriots envelope is over in the corner.
No, they don't get an envelope. Just like the NBA, they don't get an envelope.
I see.
All right. Well, Will Brinson, Jamal Adams is going nowhere, and he is not going to be traded. And he is handling this in a way that I'm sure his agent is not enjoying. Because guess where he's never going to be traded? The Dallas Cowboys. Because why? If they trade him to the Cowboys, what do they look like?
Well, they got tons of money already taken up. I mean,
Douglas looks
terrible.
They look awful. If a player says, I want to be traded to Dallas, and you trade him to Dallas, how bad does that make you look?
It makes you look horrible.
As long as you get reasonable compensation back, it's fine.
No, if you get Seattle didn't get reason. Seattle chose worse picks.
You don't look bad if Dallas, like, okay, we'll give you two first round picks and
fine,
a third.
Fine.
If you get blown away,
okay,
then you
fine.
Can do it. But
fair
short
enough.
Of that,
if
you can't.
If you get one first for a safety who you decided pretty clearly you don't want to pay as a top, like, if you don't want to make him the top paid safety in the NFL, which.
But why would they do it this year?
Well, I mean, you could wait another year. But, like, if you wait another year to trade him,
no team is going to want to trade for him because he only has 1 year left on his deal.
They couldn't franchise him?
Yes, you can franchise him.
Yeah,
you can, but I mean, like, yeah, but like, what team is going to want? That team's going to have to work with Adam's people and have them say, listen, you know, we'll play under the franchise tag, which he's not going to do.
Right.
So I mean, you know, if you trade for him next offseason, you basically have to pay him right away. I think if somebody trades for him this year, they can get him to go Jalen Ramsey on him and not sit out for a new deal. Like I think you can get him into camp. I think you get him into camp and you can have him play this year. And you can have it under his current rookie deal, and then you can sort of evaluate next offseason if you're like, all right, this worked great, let's pay him. I think you can get away with that, but if you trade him next offseason, you're going to have to pay him.
Yeah, I think they're going to pay him, and I don't think they're going to pay him this year because they have no incentive to. And
he's literally the only player eligible to be paid that's worth paying on that team. Why won't they pay him? He's the only draft pick they have like on the roster other than Marcus May from like 2011.
He's a leader. He's the best at his position in the National Football League. He's a culture changer.
Well, he's changing the culture. He wanted to go to Dallas. He's really culture changing there. But I think they'll keep him.
Pay him.
All right, Will.
Sure.
Your money. All right, Will Brinson.
It's ridiculous. It's just pay him. Give him the top safety money. Be done with it. Get him in a camp and quit being this crap town franchise that can't get anything right.
Yeah, well, they traded up and got Sammy D, my friend, and that's going to reap harvests and harvests of Super Bowl wins. Will Brinson, thank you so much for the time, sir.
All right, see you guys.
All right, we appreciate it.
Real quick, Fred, before we come back, I need you and John and whoever else wants to go to our Twitter account, @TutcherAndRich, and I want you to watch that video of Novak Djokovic in the club dancing shirtless.
Yeah.
I have about 20 questions after watching this.
Okay.
I have a lot of questions because you might know what I'm talking about, but you need to watch it, and we'll talk about it next.
All right. Very good. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Tutcher and Rich. The all-new Westboro Jeep would like to...
Xbox. All right. So Djokovic there has confirmed that he has COVID. And I guess his wife has COVID as well. But Rich on the @TutcherAndRich Twitter page put a video up of Djokovic partying his balls off at some place that looks like it's where a cheap wedding would be held.
So Fred, he has been getting a little bit of backlash because he started this tournament. I guess the way that it had been characterized, and I hadn't been following it until, to be quite honest, this morning when all this news broke. But this tournament, I guess, has been criticized for having very minimal social distancing. And I guess he's been very open about taking some of the people who are playing in it out to, like, nightclubs, after some of the matches. And two of the people who were supposed to play each other, I think, both got the coronavirus. So they had to cancel part of the tournament before any of this even happened. So this morning it's announced that Novak Djokovic, you know, ended up having the coronavirus. And now these videos are coming out of him and a bunch of the other players, because I think there were six different people who were part of this tournament who also got the coronavirus. And it's almost all of them in this nightclub. And they're
without shirts. Without
okay,
shirts.
Not the whole time.
Not the whole time, but at the beginning. Matter of fact, if you watch the first several minutes, because it's about a 4 minute thing. The first 2 minutes, there's a couple of different observations I have. First of all, Bert Breer said, "Was this a Jager organized dance party?" And to that I say,
"It's a problem." Where are the chicks? It's all right. It'd be me, Stamos, the Adrian's mad. We'd be dancing on the body of the Courier. And then I would have at least, what, six jugs?
Fred, the number one thing that stands out for this video is in the first 2 minutes, it is a sausage party. There might be one woman amongst about 100 guys. And these are dudes... shirts off, grabbing each other, dancing around. Like, if I didn't know any better,
okay,
I would have thought this was Swinging Richards.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a gay club. But the funniest thing to me is that they're playing, like, it's not even really EDM music, but they're playing, like, electronic music to get you to dance. and there's a dude with a real saxophone.
They got the dude from the Lost Boys for the trash can.
Like, just for no reason, there's this guy with a saxophone. It's the only instrument that's out there. And he's just like, scootaloo.
There's a guy with a saxophone. And then there's some dude who's wearing, like, looks like a plastic beach bucket on his head.
I think it's an ice bucket. I think it's like a champagne bucket.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, and then you've got somebody doing the worm in front of all of them on stage. The lone vagina in the entire club, it seems like, is just wearing this frilly dress, kind of standing behind them as if she's like a paid dancer. And it's all dudes. It's all penises. Just all over the place. Everyone just dancing around. And I'm like, what kind of weird-ass club is this that they're in? And then if you make it all the way to the end of the video, it's kind of got like a Planet of the Apes ending. Like, whoa, where did that twist come from? All of a sudden, all the music has stopped. And it's Novak Djokovic sitting next to a guy playing a piano, singing a sad ballad. Yeah. Like, all of a sudden, like, the club just stopped. It's like, you know, this party through the roof thing. And it was just like, now it's time to bring it down and sing a song. And it's almost like a lounge singer. It's like, send in the clouds.
It's like when me and Kip Winger would get together, headed for a heartbreak.
I mean, can you pull that audio? It's just after of course, like, you know, and they're playing like really bad dated music too. Like, don't they play Pump Up the Jam?
Yeah, they play Pump Up the Jam, and they play it faster, and then there's a saxophone player rocking the sax right next to it, just like, you know what this dance music needs is a little live saxophone.
That might, and I hate to say it, but that might be a prop that the DJ hands out. Because
no, that's a saxophone, and he's making noise.
Oh, he is, because Djokovic has like maracas that light up, and he thinks they're the greatest thing.
Well, I thought those were just blue lights that he was playing with.
Okay. No, up maracas. No.
This saxophone makes noise. Like, he's playing the saxophone.
Okay, go to @TutcherandRich on the Twitter, and it's just, I mean, there's 14, 15 different things that I'm seeing, and I'm like, okay, I got a question about this. I got a question about this. And by the way, the guy attempting to do the worm might be the worst attempt I've ever seen. He sticks his chest up, smashes it against the ground, and then gives up.
So basically, is he the same guy who does the robot? Because he might have gone full, like, this is the last thing. Like, in my country, we only get breaking two. Last year.
Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, the Electric Boogaloo. Oh, no, can you save the routine center? Oh, no.
Turbo, also.
There's party time. And then, out of nowhere, all of a sudden at the end, it just, like, all the music is shut down, and it's just like, send in the clouds. Dan, fast forward to the end.
Children cry. Let them know we try.
That is White Lion. That is not Winger.
I'm friends with the guitar player.
Vito Brada, the guitarist.
Vito Brada.
Here you go. It's good. Mike Tramp, lead singer.
Michael Tramp, yes.
Okay, so there's that. They're all partying.
Djokovic seems to have complete control of what's going on at this place.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if you want to jump up and down, you came to the right place.
Yep.
I mean, if you just want to jump up and down and have at it.
Then I guess that there's dudes, like, I think three of these other people that he's with all ended up testing positive for the coronavirus, who were on his tour as well.
Listen, I'm going to go so far as to say that was irresponsible. Gonna guess if you're at the nightclub jumping up and down without a shirt on, that if you're gonna get a virus, that's a pretty good way of getting a virus.
Yeah. So he said the entire event was forced to be called off after Dmitriev and Kornick, who were both there at the club with them, both tested positive for their match. Djokovic was slated to play Dmitriev in the finals, and then it's got like all these dudes. So that's a straight up dude party right there.
I've never understood the appeal of that. Like, just standing, like, on a stage and, like, dancing in front of people. Maybe it's a feeling of, like, power that you're, like, in charge of the party. I've never gotten that. I told you about, it's a story I've told many times, but I do think it's funny. When Patrick Kane, and it was, like, two weeks after they'd won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And he was in a VIP, and again, he was probably, like, 22. But he's in this VIP area, and he shakes up a bottle and starts spraying champagne on people. And, like, everyone was like, what the F are you doing? Like, stop spraying champagne on me. And we're, like, trying to get at him, and VIP and security had to come in. It's, like, at a certain point, like, I'm here, too. Yeah. You know, like, I'm paying money to be here, too. You don't get to just do all this. Can you imagine if you walked in? I'm sure it was a private party. But can you, and it does look like it was, like, at a place where you would have a wedding. I mean, it looks like, I know a place in Detroit, but you won't know what it is. And, and you walk into the party, and there's just six dudes with their shirts off jumping up and down.
That's when you turn around and say, give me my cover charge back.
Well, that's when I go, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Because this isn't even ironically funny. This just sucks.
It reminds me of the video of, do you remember when the Patriots lost, I think it was the perfect season, and there's the video of the after party, and Matt Light.
He's tasting colors. Yeah, that's right.
Well, hasn't Matt Light, without saying it, sort of confirm that he was in another state of mind?
Oh, yes. We talked to him about it. I mean, you know, Matt Light was great. It was like, hey, man, I got to bring up this video, because he was just kind of like, hey, man, season's done. And his hands were in the air, and he was like he was a butterfly prince. You know, he's like, yes. And of course, Matt Light being a big gentleman, when he has his shirt off, it's 10 times funnier.
Yeah. Well, listen, that was his retirement thing. Yeah. All right. Yep. Well, I'll tell you this, is that if you like to go places where, because that's not even like a gay thing. That's just.
No, it's just like, annoying. Let's just hang out and jump.
Yeah. Just like super annoying. All right, Rich, what is coming up?
All right. I have some interesting news about the Batman movies. On top of that, we've got a situation where what if Flavortown was a real place that you could visit?
I've heard that.
We'll get to that as well.
All right. So we will have that for you. Here are the headlines. 985, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. All right, John. Captain endorsements. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much, Fred. Stack is brought to you by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Check them out at windownation.com.
So the city of Columbus, Ohio has already vowed to bring down its statue of Christopher Columbus, but there are a lot of people in the town and all over who are wishing to completely erase the city's connection to Christopher Columbus by renaming the city. As a matter of fact, there is a petition that right now has 44,413 signatures to rename Columbus, Ohio, Flavortown.
Do it now. Do it tomorrow.
It's the greatest idea ever, and I'm 1,000% behind it.
Apparently, is he from there?
He is. So here's, this is what the
petition
reads.
When did he go out to San Jose and just make it? He went out to San Jose and just experienced the flavors.
Look at them trying to claim Mr. Guy Fieri as their own. You want Guy Fieri to, I always thought he was a West Coast guy. You know, maybe
same
it's
with
because
me.
Tex Wasabi's, his original restaurant, has such a West Coast feel.
Huge Oakland Raiders fan, remember? During Hard Knocks, there he was.
Well, I'm being told he might have gone to UNLV.
Well, that explains everything.
Imagine going to UNLV as a college student. Yeah. Honestly, just imagine going there in the middle of Las Vegas, what that would be like for your college experience. Unbelievable. Well, it says, beloved Buckeyes, one and all, Columbus is an amazing city, but one whose name is tarnished by the very name itself. Christopher Columbus is in the bad place because of all of his raping, slave trading, and genocide. That's not exactly a proud legacy. This is according to this petition. Why not rename the city Flavortown? The new name is twofold. For one, it honors Central Ohio's proud heritage as a culinary crossroads of one of the nation's largest test markets for the food industry. Wow, it's going to be known as a test market.
Yeah, baby. These slobs will throw anything down their throat.
They said, secondly, Chef Liberty Guy Fieri, it's a new word, was born in Columbus, so naming the city in honor of him would be superior to its current nomenclature. I'm not up to date on my Columbus town charter, so whether it takes a city council vote or a petition for a town referendum, let's get the ball rolling for a more flavorful tomorrow. They want 50,000, I think it takes 50,000 signatures in order to get some sort of recognition with the government.
Okay, here's the best thing about it. If this happens, Guy Fieri crying. Guy Fieri overwhelmed. that a major U.S. city has turned itself into Flavor Town.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
There's going to be, you know, every trash can's going to be full of nachos. There's going to be, like, wasabi wing trees. It's going to be a virtual paradise. It's going to, yeah, you're going to be able to ride a wave of donkey sauce down the river. Like at school, like when you do your Pledge of Allegiance, you have to wear sunglasses on the back of your head.
Well, that's part of the law. It's one of the new laws that would pass.
He's a benevolent dictator, Rich. He does make the rules, but he loves
his
people.
He likes to break them, too. He likes to break them as much as he likes to
Well, that's rule number one. Don't follow the rules.
That's right. I mean, listen, you might be going to some like fancy schmancy dinner, but I'm showing up in a bowling shirt, baby.
One of the laws that's on the books that I have heard, because he's briefly talked about it, is that you're not allowed to drive 55.
And, Fred, what do you keep all your precious items inside?
Well, I would say a box that has three locks on it.
Three-lock box.
Absolutely.
I mean, so just – oh, I did see a tweet that – because I do follow Guy Fieri on Twitter, because who wouldn't? And there is a new episode. It might have actually aired this weekend. That either airs this weekend or this week, where it's Guy Fieri with the singer of Smash Mouth.
Not dissimilar looking.
No. Many people have taken him, the guy from Smash Mouth, and the clown from ICP, Violent J, yes. I believe. I'm not sure. The one who's not skinny.
Yeah, Violent J.
The other one.
Yeah, I think that's Violent J.
Okay, that would be Violent J, I believe. So, all together. So, if you I will tweet out, of course, that petition. I think that in no time our listeners could get that over 50,000. They're at 44,000 right now.
Oh, yeah, that's no sweat.
No sweat. Let's see if we can make that happen. An interesting casting decision for the brand new movie about the Flash. You know, the old Flash that they tried to launch a big thing for with the Justice League? That
he books.
I mean, fast.
Yeah, I mean, he burns rubber on his feet.
Yep, he shows everyone his wiener real quick and then runs away.
That's right. He wears an overcoat.
That's right.
I'm the Flash.
That's right. He gets arrested. Well,
whoopsie-daisy.
According to reports, the person who was going to play Batman in this movie is none other than Michael Keaton.
Oh,
hey, now.
His role.
There he
is. Well, well.
I love it. I absolutely love it. So they want to bring him back to be an older Batman. I guess this is being done in a different multiverse than the original Batman, because there's also another Batman movie being made about Batman that is being played by Robert Pattinson, who's going to absolutely kill it. But Michael Keaton making a return, what an inspired casting decision. I love it. So look for that to come out, I think, next year, as long as, you know, they can still
they're filming again.
I think that everything on location filming, I think, starts next month. I believe that these people are going back to the studios,
yes,
and they're doing editing and things like that. But actual on location filming, I think, would start next month.
Fingers crossed, new episodes of The Goldberg starting in the fall. Keith, go ahead.
Hey, before I tell you what I was going to call you about, so young, sickly Nicholas picks up the phone, just picks it up, doesn't say hello, just picks up the phone.
Oh, he's awful.
Throw that in.
Oh, he's awful at answering the phones. Ask
Dad.
Doesn't
say hello.
The phone's ringing like crazy in the other room, and Nick is in a room.
Somehow the ringer got left on in our studio, yeah, which it usually is. And, Fred, you looked at me. I looked over at the phone, and I looked back, and then you turned around to yell at Nick.
Yeah, Nick doesn't answer the phone. He just sits there. I don't know what about that chair, but it's a lobotomy. Like something, like it's like got an electrical current that goes up to your head. I don't know. All right, go ahead.
All right, more importantly, just looking at Wallach's tweets and just hearing his little just bird voice just chirping for the past couple of weeks.
Yeah.
I think Wallach really needs to get into the bone zone. He's talking about big bucks, POV movies. He's really sad about baseball. I mean, this poor guy. Mrs. Wallach needs to schedule some love time in that schedule.
I'm not
She's
arguing.
Out of town.
She's out of town right now, but I'm not arguing with you. That's inspired right there.
I mean, she's out of town. I mean, what do you want? I mean, you know, he's got a Fluffy. I mean, that's all he needs.
I don't know what that is.
A fluffy?
I don't know what it is.
A towel, a Ziploc bag, and a little bit of Vaseline.
Oh.
Heat it up, and you got yourself a fluffy machine.
I thought it was a Fifi.
I'm sorry, Fifi. You're right.
Yeah, okay. It's a Fifi.
Okay.
Prison term.
All right.
Yep. It is a prison term. There you go. Michael Keaton is fresh off the success of that Bird movie that was absolutely unwatchable.
It won Best Picture, and I don't know why. It wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't good. You know, it was just kind of there.
It was too indulgent.
Self-indulgent.
Celebrity. Yeah.
Yes, there's no question. By the way, Michael Keaton, highly controversial Batman take. I think he was the best Batman. And I know everyone loves Christian Bale. I think Christian Bale was a pretty good Bruce Wayne. But as a Batman, that voice that he did was
over the top.
Really corny.
I could not agree more. The problem was Michael Keaton kind of ruined his legacy by acting in that second Batman movie, which was just atrociously bad.
But that's not his fault.
I understand that. But, I mean, I don't like Ben Affleck. I thought Ben Affleck was a horrible Batman.
Affleck was a good Batman in a bad Batman movie. I think if you would have put him in a good film, people would have been like, man, because I wanted to hate Ben Affleck in it too. You know how much I was against him being Batman.
Yeah.
Stupid thing I was like actually passionate about. Then I saw, I was like, dude, he was good. So Michael Keaton, good Batman in a good Batman movie. Ben Affleck, good Batman in a bad Batman movie. Christian Bale, an okay Batman in the best Batman movie. But Pattinson's going to be the best of all.
I just showed my kids the first Batman like a month ago or like a couple months ago, and that's embarrassing to watch now. Nick.
The Keaton one?
Oh, yeah. Like when they're.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's like so. I know it's supposed to be that way, but it doesn't age well. Nick, go ahead. Nick.
Hello, Fred.
Hey, what's up, Nick?
What's going on? So I had something I wanted to bring up to you, and then I just needed to let you know I was threatened by young, sickly Nicholas to make sure that I was greeted on the phone and that he said Sports Hub. He did not. And I just want to let the record be known.
Well, I mean, and why not beg you to say such things, considering that, I mean, how difficult to say Sports Hub?
Oh, I was threatened. I was threatened.
That's right. I can believe it.
All right. So I was up this morning watching an episode of Sesame Street with my son, and I think I might have been scarred for life, and I think you would actually laugh at it. There was a segment on feet, and it did not stop, and every time I heard, you know, they're trying to go over the letter F and foot, all I could hear was, yes, all I could hear was this.
Ooh, Big Bird, you seem to have stepped in it now.
Oh, it was absolutely brutal, and I didn't think it could get much worse, and then I was threatened by young, sickly Nicholas.
I mean, Nicholas is really, he's cooking with gas today.
F is for T is for Tootsies. That's good enough for me. I'll shove them in my mouth and maybe watch me pee.
By the way, Davis Bertans, you know the guy who's sitting out, John?
Yeah.
He's now getting crushed by other players. There was a tweet that just came out. He's a player for the Wizards.
Bertans, we talked about him earlier.
Oh, yeah, he's the guy who's got the contract coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's not going to be playing during this postseason, and now you've got all of these players in the league, like Evan Fournier. Is that how you pronounce his last name, the guard for the Magic.
Yep.
He said, seriously, though, if you think it's okay to sit and watch your teammates play while you're perfectly healthy, it says a lot about you. And so now all these people are copying Davis on this as well. And so today's the deadline where they have to
tell,
according to
tomorrow.
It's tomorrow? Okay.
The 24th.
That's right. Tomorrow's the 24th. Tomorrow's the deadline where they have to tell the league whether or not they're going to play this offseason. And I'm telling you, just watch Dwight Howard. This is going to be the funniest one because Kendrick Perkins is right.
Yeah.
Well, I think so too, but Kendrick Perkins is right. He's like, you said you weren't going to play.
Now don't play.
Exactly.
Put your money where your mouth is.
If you feel like you are this adamant or you are this passionate about the Black Lives Matter movement, and if you truly believe not playing is the best way to protest it, then don't play.
You know who else is involved in this? Avery Bradley, who also plays for the Lakers.
Yep.
That's another guy who you got to watch today.
Do you think LeBron is just pissed at those guys?
I think LeBron just said to him, you're playing.
You know what? I'll say this about LeBron. I think the reason the NBA is running so smoothly right now and everything's going and all the players are buying in for the most part is because of LeBron James.
Oh, absolutely.
It's 100% true that the way LeBron James goes is the way that yes. league goes.
Players have tweeted that out. I mean, Patrick Beverley, right after this whole thing started, said, if the big dog plays, I'm in.
He's right. And so now that obviously he's got a championship that he could be playing for, I mean, he's one of the teams that more than likely could win it, that because he's 100% in, I guarantee you that's why you have basically 90 to 95% of the league not even asking any questions. We're going to be here. Let's do it. It's because they're following his lead because he calls the shots.
Yeah, it's Maverick Carter, his whole operation calls the shots in the NBA. If he was iffy on playing, then this would be a whole different situation. A whole different situation. I mean, how many guys does Maverick Carter represent? I mean, that company. A lot,
I love
right?
it. Oh, is there anything better than if they make it all the way to the Western Conference Finals, or actually, the Western Conference, makes it to the finals, and they end up getting either beaten by the Bucks or the Celtics? I mean, that would just be awesome, especially oh, yeah. if he's the one it came out that convinced Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard. You know Dwight Howard's going to be all bitchy and moany after all of it, but then all of a sudden there's a rift in the team because, and then a guy got sick and because LeBron convinced him to all come back and they didn't win. Oh, man. I mean, it couldn't end any better that LeBron makes it all the way to another championship and ends up losing.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything, and that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds, and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with the solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.